Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. This show is presented by Dr. Ben McMillan of the Neal Clinic, who's responsible for information and opinions expressed during the show.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
Good morning, Jenna, and good morning to everybody out there listening today. I hope you guys have all had a great week. I know I have. My name is Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of the Neal Clinic located on Creighton Road. I got a few interesting topics to cover this morning, and I've also got a question for our listeners as well that I'll get into in just a minute. This morning, I'm going to be covering a condition that, I'll be honest, I really didn't realize it was quite as common as it is, but the more I began seeing it in my clinic, the more I looked into it, and what I'm talking about this morning is vertigo or dizziness. I'm a numbers guy, I love statistics, and the stat I saw on this was that there are over 8 million primary care visits each year just in the U.S. due to dizziness, and dizziness is also the leading complaint for seniors over the age of 75. I did a quick calculation when I saw that 8 million visits. That's 22,000 a day. That's a lot of dizzy people out there. So I'm going to discuss some of the causes as well as some of the treatments and how exactly your chiropractor can help if you've been suffering from vertigo. And if you've heard any of my shows, I always like to include at least one of these research papers that I've read over the past few days. Typically, I try and make it an interesting one because some of those are pretty bland. So I'm going to get into one of those research papers as well. But before we get into all of that, the question for our listeners this morning, and I'll make it interesting. The first person to text in a correct answer can come by the Neal Clinic, and I'll give them one of my famous ice packs. And this is a tough question. I'll actually be pretty surprised if we get someone who knows this. So I'll make it worth your while. I'll give away one of those big ice packs that we have. These things are great. I brought you one of those a few weeks ago, Jenna, for all that you do on our show here.
I haven't had a chance to talk about it. It is a life changer. I don't even want to say game changer. I'm talking life changer. The way it molds to the area that you're putting it on and it lasts, it's perfect.
These things they're great. They're not something to throw in the cooler on the way to the beach this weekend. These things are designed to be used on your body. They're really, really good. So text in these answers. Okay, so here we go. If any of our listeners out there know what trypanophobia is, text those answers into 850-437-1620. It's related to something I'm going to discuss later. No, it's not dizziness, but I want to see if anybody out there knows this one. It's tough. I know I hadn't heard of it until I came across it and had to look it up a few weeks ago, but we've got some educated listeners out there, so maybe somebody does know. And while we're talking about texting in, if you have a chiropractic question that you want answered live on the air this morning, send me a message to that same number, 850-437-1620, and I'll get to as many of those questions as I have time for this morning. So I'm going to give everybody a few minutes to think about that question and send us in your answers, but I'm going to go ahead and get into our discussion about vertigo. I've seen several patients over the past week or two that have come in and reported, in addition to maybe their neck pain, that they'd been experiencing some dizziness as well. Even occasionally, I'll get a patient that their main complaint isn't neck pain. Maybe it's their lower back. And while I'm going through their history, they may mention, oh, and by the way, I've been having these dizzy spells. So first thing with dizziness, there are two big categories that we can classify dizziness or vertigo or disequilibrium, really, is what it is. There's two of these things that they can be. The first one, you can have a central origin. That's going to include stuff with like your brainstem, your cerebellum. There's some cranial vascular supplies that can cause dizziness. And then there's also from some peripheral origins of dizziness as well. And that's going to be more vestibular stuff, more inner ear, some visual things, as well as your spinal proprioceptive system. And it's very important to be able to tell the difference between those two. Typically, those more central origins of dizziness are going to be more complicated cases, and it's going to require you to go see a neurologist. And I refer those out all the time because there's not much your chiropractor is going to be able to do to help you if your dizziness is caused by an issue in your brain. But that's why, as a chiropractor, I've been trained on how to do a thorough neurologic examination to be able to distinguish between the two. Oh, Jenna's showing me we got a bunch of texts in for the trypanophobia. Who's this first one, Jenna?
I'm not sure of your name.
Okay, here we go. We got it. It's basically a fear of medical procedures concerning shots or injections. That is correct. I've got the fear of needles. Yep. Fear of injections. Yeah. Okay, so bunch of answers in here for this. I had no clue. Did you know what trypanophobia is?
No, I thought it was like, you know, like the triple pan threat and you're gonna hit me with a frying pan. I don't know.
Yeah, I was just being silly. I was all over the board, and I guess it's got, I looked it up, it's got some Latin origin for insertion of needle, and that's exactly right. So I'll write down this number, I'll give you a call.
That was Ray.
Ray.
Good
all
job.
Right. Congratulations, Ray. I will give you a call, and you can come by the clinic anytime today or next week, and we'll get you one of those ice packs. I appreciate you texting in this morning. So back to dizziness. There's those two big categories, right? The central origin or peripheral origin. And in those two categories, there's dozens of reasons why a patient might present with dizziness. Another big one that I didn't mention yet, and I'll tell you right now, it's a side effect of almost every single medication out there. Dizziness and drowsiness are probably two of the most common side effects for most medications, and a lot of people are on one or if not more than one medication. So, you know, check on the side of your bottle. All of those prescriptions, I would almost guarantee you're going to have, may have some dizziness, may have some drowsiness associated with these. And there's also some pretty serious medical conditions that can cause dizziness as well. I'm talking tumors, you can have concussions, there's some infections, but most of those are going to have significant other findings during that exam as well. The dizziness and vertigo cases that typically walk into my clinic are generally more the peripheral origin and will commonly be one of two conditions that are almost, they present almost identically. The first condition is it's an inner ear condition, typically referred to just simply as BPPV. And they call it that because benign positional paroxysmal vertigo, that's just a mouthful to say. So BPPV is actually the most common cause of dizziness and vertigo. And it can affect any age group, but we typically see this, you know, beginning around your 40s and increases in cases as you age. So what is it? What is BPPV? I typically demonstrate this with a drawing, and I'm no artist, but it's a pretty easy drawing for me to do because I've done it so many times. But I'll do my best to kind of convey this picture over the radio this morning. So your inner ear contains these three semicircular canals that are all filled with a fluid. And the inside of those canals are also lined with these tiny little hairs. So as this fluid is passing over them, they sense the direction and speed of the fluid and the way that fluid is moving. The stimulation of these hairs is transmitted to your brain, and that's going to be incorporated with several other signals from your neck and eyes to determine your overall balance or equilibrium. These three canals are all oriented in different planes, which are going to help you detect different head movements. You know, the one canal is oriented vertically, so it's up and down, and it senses the movement that you would make when you nod yes. Another one is oriented in the horizontal plane, so it's going to perceive that motion you make when you nod no. The last canal is kind of more diagonally oriented, and it detects that motion you were to make if you were going to bring your left ear towards your left shoulder. And Jenna's looking at me weird because I'm doing all these motions and signing. I'm just doing my drawing here in the air. But I hope that makes a little sense. And at the end of each of these semicircular canals is this sac that contains these small calcium carbonate particles. And occasionally, what happens is one of these particles will dislodge from that sac. That it's called a utricle. And those little crystals are going to float into that semicircular canal. Well, when this happens, it's going to throw off that normal fluid flow rate that our brains are really calibrated really, really closely for. And we interpret that new change in fluid dynamics as dizziness. So when these patients experience the vertigo symptoms, it's going to be with a certain head movement. They'll often say things like, oh, you know, when I roll over in bed at night, I get really dizzy. Or if I look over my right shoulder, the whole room starts spinning. The vertigo is typically short-lived. I mean, it'll generally last less than 30 seconds, and then it calms down. And there's almost very rarely, there's no pain really associated with their symptoms. It's just, hey, I move and I get really dizzy. The whole room starts spinning. So that's one thing I'm looking for. The other category of patients that will often present to my clinic with dizziness, that's a dizziness that's going to arise from a misaligned and dysfunctional joint or joints in their cervical spine, so in their neck. When these joints aren't functioning properly, it can result in a change in proprioception. And that word proprioception, that means the sense of where your body is in space. Again, I use another example to describe this. If I told everybody to put your arm down by your side and close your eyes and then bend your elbow to 90 degrees, I bet most of you out there would be able to do that pretty easily, right? Well, how did you know that your elbow was bent to 90 degrees? You couldn't see it. And that's your sense of proprioception, right? You know where your body is in space in relation to itself. And most of us take that for granted until something starts malfunctioning. And then it becomes an issue. So to get back to dizziness, the muscles and joints in your neck play a big role in the proprioception for your head. So a dysfunctional joint in your upper cervical spine, well, if it's not working properly, it can result in that dizziness sensation. Now, these patients typically present with very, very tight occipital or suboccipital muscles, and they're probably going to have some reduced ranges of motion as well in their neck, and they're going to have some pain as well with certain positions of their neck. This is a very common phenomenon to see with the patients that have just experienced a whiplash injury or maybe some trauma to their neck. You know, a patient presents after an auto accident, no prior history of dizziness, maybe they're young, but after a few weeks, their neck's still a little sore, and now they're starting to get dizzy when they move in a certain direction. Another symptom I look for with this more cervicogenic dizziness are patients that describe the sensation more as like lightheadedness or floating, as opposed to that like true traditional, hey, the entire room is spinning sensation with other vertigo. So those are the types of vertigo that I see frequently. Now, the question is, what can your chiropractor do to treat it? You know, I bet it's pretty easy for the second cause, that cervicogenic vertigo. I bet most of you know where I'm headed with this one. Those joints are dysfunctional. The muscles are tight. Like, that's, we can connect the dots there is, I bet, what we can do. But for that BPPV, what can your chiropractor do? And let me start off by saying, if I think your dizziness is a central origin cause, you know, brainstem, bleeding on the brain, something like that, like I said earlier, I'm referring you out to a neurologist. Those issues are typically less common, and they're almost always caught by your primary care. Most people go see their primary care first for dizziness. And if you went to them first, you know, the primary care is going to refer you to the neurologist as well. So I don't see too many of those cases. But the cases of BPPV and cervicogenic vertigo, I love those cases. And why? And that's because I get them better with the chiropractic treatments I provide at the Neil Clinic. There's several, I'll use the word maneuvers here, because it's not really a stretch and it's not like an exercise where you're doing a sit-up or something. It's more just this like sequence of movements or maneuver that are designed to remove those crystals from those semicircular canals I was describing. And, you know, I can show you a video, I can teach you how to do these things pretty easily, and you can do them at home really, really easily. My only recommendation is to have a trash can nearby because they are going to reproduce that dizziness. That's kind of what they're designed to do. And sometimes that can lead to some nausea, and it's much easier to clean up if it's all contained in that trash can. But these maneuvers, they work, and they'll dislodge that crystal and move them out of those semicircular tubes that I was talking about, and then your vertigo's gone. That's all there is to it. For the patients with neck pain, and it's more their neck that's causing their dizziness, well, you're in the right place if you're at your chiropractor's office, because chiropractic care is actually the best course of care for these patients. Spinal manipulation to your neck and upper back at those joints that are dysfunctional are the most effective way to correct this problem. And the gentle type of chiropractic treatments that I use at the Neal Clinic, you know, I've talked about it before. I use a tool called the Activator. It's so great for these patients. It allows me to be very specific. I use the proper amount of force to treat those upper cervical joints. And like I was saying earlier, these are people whose neck is already painful. It's already stiff. Having someone manually, you know, pop your neck or crack your neck, that may be pretty uncomfortable in that situation. And that's why my patients love the Activator work I do. Once I correct that dysfunctional joint, the muscles are going to relax. The dizziness subsides. That's it. I mentioned some of these patients are having symptoms due to a whiplash injury or, you know, some trauma to their neck. And to help with their pain and other symptoms, I'll typically recommend they get treated with our Class 4 laser as well. And that's because it's going to help get them out of pain and help them heal so much faster. Not to mention, it feels great. I'm not kidding when I say patients love these tools. We use them every day in our clinic. All right, now let's get back to the trivia question of the day. Ray, answered trypanophobia. So that's right, fear of needles. You know, I would venture to guess that's a pretty common fear. I wouldn't say I have a full-blown phobia of needles, but I'll say I'm never really thrilled having to go to the doctor's office to get a shot. That's not something I'm circling on my calendar as a big Jenna shaking her head. No, she...
Not a fan.
Yeah, that's... I would imagine this is more common. And the reason I brought that up today is because I've been doing more and more dry needling at my clinic. And that's because it's been helping so many of my patients. And again, initially when I start talking about dry needling, people aren't thrilled about the idea of inserting needles into their back or neck. But don't worry, I'm not talking about those needles that you would use to administer a shot. Those are the more traditional hypodermic needles. I'm talking about acupuncture needles. And they're really different than those hypodermic needles that are hollow on the inside and they're pushing substances under the skin. These acupuncture needles, first of all, they're not hollow, which allows them to be really, really thin. In fact, you could fit almost 20 of these dry needles into the tip of one of those hypodermic needles. That's how thin these things are. And the great thing about dry needling is how quickly I'm able to achieve results using this treatment. I've used this technique on all sorts of conditions. I was treating a patient of mine who's he's a really good golfer. And big common complaint with a lot of golfers is back pain, right? He'd been dealing with some lower back tightness and stiffness for about a month. And he had tried a bunch of stuff at home. I mean, this guy's really active. He'd tried stretching, exercising. He even bought one of those new massage guns. But just couldn't seem to get it to loosen up. So I talked with him about the dry needling and that I thought it would help his back. And he said he'd give it a shot, no pun intended there. But as soon as he got up off the treatment table from having those needles in his lower back, he immediately said he hadn't felt his back that loose in months. He was bending and twisting, and I said, hey, take it easy here. But he was moving all around. And I mean, it was just awesome to see how much better he felt after just one treatment with the dry needling. It was pretty cool. Another great thing I've really enjoyed since adding dry needling to the practice is just how versatile it is. I'm not limited to just treating your lower back or your neck. I've been treating elbows and forearms, shoulders, calves, hips. I mean, really any muscle we can treat with these needles. I had a patient the other day, and she'd been dealing with this discomfort in her hip. Again, she was pretty active, walks all the time, likes to ride her bike a lot. But her hip had just been bothering her for several weeks, and she just couldn't shake it. She tried all the normal stuff that she'd done, stretching it at home, and that typically had always worked for her, but not this time. And she had this upcoming vacation. Her and her family were going hiking all over Alaska, and she was really nervous that this hip pain was really going to limit how much she was going to be able to enjoy this trip they had been really looking forward to. She'd had acupuncture in the past, so again, she wasn't really concerned about the needle. She understood how thin they were, and you barely feel these things, and was really open to trying the dry needling protocol on her hip. So when she walked out of the clinic with no hip pain, she was just thrilled. It was really awesome to see that she was going to be able to enjoy that. Her family's super active, so I knew they were going to be out just getting after it in Alaska. In fact, she actually got back from her trip recently, and she came by the clinic and told us she had no issues at all in her hip the entire trip. They were up there for like almost 2 weeks, I think, and they were hiking all over the place. Some of the pictures they showed us were just beautiful. I've never made it out to Alaska, but boy, she had me wanting to check the flights out there. So if you've been dealing with an achy back or hip or arm and you haven't tried dry needling yet, call the Neal Clinic or go online at neilclinic.com and schedule an appointment and let me know you're curious about dry needling. Again, these needles are really, really thin, and you may feel them initially puncturing the skin, but after that, the initial sensation, most people can't even tell they have needles in them after a few seconds, which sometimes it's kind of funny for me to see, because some of these needles are pretty long depending on what muscle I'm working on or what body part. And seeing these needles stick out of their back, you'd think that there's no way you don't feel that. I mean, you kind of look like a pincushion, but you really don't. I've had it done to myself tons of times. You don't feel these things after a while. But this therapy has been a great addition to the treatments at the Neal Clinic. We had a patient text in and wanted to know about, are there any chiropractic treatments for tinnitus? Okay, so tinnitus, Jenna, you know what tinnitus is?
Yes, because I've had it, and ooh, yes, chiropractic care definitely helped.
Yeah, tinnitus, for anybody out there that wasn't aware, is ringing in the ears, one of the probably most annoying symptoms you could ever dream up, right?
Drives you crazy.
Yeah, just constant ringing in the ears. And yes, so chiropractic can occasionally help with that. Again, similar to the dizziness, there can be dozens of causes of this thing. You know, if you've had a trauma to your ear and you've damaged one of the nerve endings in your ear, probably not a lot the chiropractor is going to do. But same thing as the dizziness. There can be some causes with, you know, those joints in your neck that are affecting the nerve supply that we could definitely help with. Interestingly enough, tinnitus is also one of the symptoms that can be related to dizziness. There's a condition called Meniere's disease. I always remembered that one. Meniere's is in the ears.
So you get this, Meniere's.
Yeah, you get this ringing in your ears, typically associated with dizziness and visual changes. Mm-hmm. So if you're getting that kind of triad, those three things, you may want to go get checked out for that Meniere's disease. But yeah, if there's any other questions that you guys have, text those in. I love answering these things on the air. Last thing that I want to get to, I always try and bring you guys some of these interesting research papers that I come across each week. I'm kind of a science nerd when it comes to this stuff, and I read a good amount of these, but I try and choose one that I think would interest our listeners. This week's is from the July edition of the European Spine Journal. The title of this thing was Disc Degeneration Spreads, Long-Term Consequences of a Single-Level Disc Injury. I'm running low on time, but essentially what they said is they found in this study that you could injure your L4, L5 disc is what they injured. They used mice for this study. And at that change, if you did not treat it and you did not have the exercise in your daily routine, would spread all up and down the rest of your spine. I mean, they found significant degeneration at other levels. You hear me talk about that downward degenerative spiral all the time, so you guys kind of know what I'm talking about. But I'll get into a little bit of that next show. I hope everybody has a great weekend. I'm Dr. Ben McMillan at the Neal Clinic,